Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Dylan of the Durham College Campus Conflict Resolution Services. Welcome to our show this week. The CCRS Blog Talk Radio show focuses on issues surrounding conflict in campus life. Our programs will discuss alternative dispute resolution, such as conflict coaching and facilitation as methods to help you resolve your conflicts, and our exciting guest speakers will give great insight into their personal disputes and provide some tips on how to help you find better ways to resolve your own disputes. So, what can CCRS do for you? The project offers free pre-mediation, conflict coaching, and mediation services to Durham College students. What type of conflicts can CCRS address? Well, we can address disputes that are student-to-student, student-professor, group projects, issues in residence and with roommates, anything to do with campus life. Why choose CCRS? We help people reach agreements and find permanent solutions to their conflicts. We provide an opportunity for you to say what's important to you and to hear the other party's perspective in a safe and constructive atmosphere. Our services help rebuild and strengthen relationships, both personal and professional. Again, our services at CCRS include consultations, which provide an opportunity to explore options to make an informed choice, mediations, which provides parties in conflict with a neutral third party who will assist in resolving your dispute and strengthen relationships, as well as educational programs designed to provide students with skills to address conflicts within the college community via in-class visits and presentations. Again, all of our services are free of charge to Durham College and UIT students. For today's show, I'm going to talk about the circle of conflict, and I'll be exploring what happens to you emotionally when you're in conflict with another person, and also what's happening to the person you're in a dispute with. Let's review the six origins of conflicts. First, there are moods and emotions. These might seem obvious, but if you're in a bad mood or incredibly irritable one day, it's far easier to fall into conflict with someone else. The second origin of conflict are relationships. When you've had a past negative relationship or you bring assumptions into a new relationship, it can create friction between you and the person you're in a relationship with. Poor communication and repetitive negative behavior are also issues regarding the origins of conflicts in relationships. The third origin of conflict are value-based conflicts. These are issues involving opposing belief systems, assumptions of what right and wrong is in a situation, different concepts of good and evil, and the use of just and unjust politics. All these can lead you into a highly emotional conflict. The fourth origin of conflict is data. This is in regards to a lack of information in a conflict, misinformation causing issues in a conflict, or too much information leading you to get lost in a conflict. All of these can lead to a confusing conflict that is difficult to unravel and resolve. The fifth origin of conflict is structural. This refers to limits in physical resources or time and money, issues with authority, or issues within the structure of an organization. The sixth origin of conflict and the final one is interests. When your wants, needs, and fears or your concerns and desire are in competition with another person, it is one of the easiest ways to fall into a conflict. Okay, I want you all to picture a triangle. This triangle is called the triangle of satisfaction. One side is called the substantive or the result. This is the what, the outcome, the most tangible part of a conflict. In court, you can interpret that to mean who pays how much money to whom. Another part of the triangle is referred to as the procedural or the process. This is the how, the process by which we reach a result. Then there's a psychological or the emotional side. This is what is going on emotionally or psychologically as we try to reach an agreement, such as a need to win, a need to be heard, issues of status or self-worth, issues regarding the quality of the relationship, anything with an emotional component to it. I'll use an example to help explain the triangle of satisfaction further. When purchasing a house, the main result interest of the purchaser might be the lowest final purchase price and inclusion of as many light fixtures, appliances, and curtains as possible. The main result interest of the seller might be the highest price in as-is condition. Some process interests might be who presents the offer, how fair the negotiation process has been, has the buyer lowballed on their first offer, for instance, have they angered the seller? Has the seller threatened to pull it off the market if they don't like the offer? Is there a bidding war going on, or is this the only offer in sight? With regards to the psychological interests, one interest might be the question of who gets the antique chandelier. For the buyer, it makes the house seem unique and special. Well, for the seller, it was her grandmother's and has a great emotional value to her. It may be worth little on the market, but it may make or break the deal, since the parties are emotionally attached to it far beyond just the substantive value. In other situations, which party accepts the offer, the other's final offer may represent who won the negotiation in their minds. And since neither party will want to feel like they lost the negotiation, no deal gets struck. Wanting to meet a buyer personally to know the home went to nice people may also be important from an emotional perspective for the seller. It's important to use this triangle to assess which type of interest is important in to each party at every moment of a during a conflict. All right, now that you have an idea of what drives conflict, let's look at what happens when you're in a conflict. And by the way, just to complicate matters, sometimes the other party has no idea they're involved in a conflict with you. Have you ever caught yourself saying, because they should have known that would upset me? Or how could they have no idea about that? Here's what happens when you're, and perhaps the other party, is in conflict. I find it's easy to picture a tornado spinning out of control to visualize this. So the first step is that the conflict event occurs. This is when you become aware of the conflict and attempt to deal with it. It could be thought as the misunderstanding that gives birth to the conflict. The second step is when your goals start to compete. Neighbors slide into competition and view the conflict as a result of deliberate actions of the other. Positions tend to harden at this stage. The third step is that assumptions are made. Information is received from outside sources and is used to form assumptions about the neighbor and the conflict in general. There is now little communication with the other person you're in dispute with. The fourth step involves looking for support. Neighbors will look to other friends and neighbors for support to feel comfortable with their decision. They look for evidence of other problems and find other people who have the same opinion in an attempt to attack the other party they're in a dispute with. The fifth step happens when conclusions are drawn. There is no longer any communication with the neighbor, and there is no way of understanding the other's actions. Conclusions, usually negative, are drawn about the neighbor's motives through information from other sources. The sixth step happens when beliefs begin to alter perceptions. Now, what the person believes alters how they see things. They are seeing things through an adversarial lens. Anything the neighbor does or says is perceived in a negative manner, no matter how constructive it may be to resolve the conflict. The final step is that actions continue to be taken based on those beliefs. Each neighbor now believes the objective of the conflict is to take action to hurt the other person more than they are being hurt. Things are beyond reasonable, and causing damage to the other is the focus, even at their own expense. Reflecting on your own conflict experience, do you recognize any of these stages? What do you think they were going through when you were in conflict with them? Today, we have a special guest on the show who will be reflecting on a personal conflict of her own. Let's welcome Ainsley Stewart to the show. Hi, Ainsley.
Hey, Dylan.
Thanks for coming out today. We're glad you could make it. I just have a couple questions about a personal conflict you've experienced in the past. First of all, could you tell us a little bit about when your conflict occurred?
It happened about 3 days ago with my mom. I wanted to go out somewhere with my what I feel is my vehicle, and she wanted to go out somewhere with the same vehicle. I pay for gas and insurance on the vehicle. She pays for the car payments. So, I mean, I guess we're both invested in the vehicle. And we got pretty heated, and I said that her plans weren't as important as mine and that she was being selfish. And she said the same things back to me. So it was, yeah, we fought.
Well, that's too bad to hear, but it does give us a great example to unravel on today's show. So my next question for you is, would you say that both of you have a competing position in this conflict that are irreconcilable?
I wouldn't say they're irreconcilable, but I would say that they are definitely competing interests, for sure, and it caused a big fight.
It definitely puts strain on your personal relationship. Could you tell us what type of conflict this is?
I'd say it's a relationship type of conflict. Because it involves my mom and I, and it's a personal conflict between the two of us.
My next question is, so what level of conflict would you classify this as? Severe, mild, or mediate?
I would say it's probably relatively mild in the grand scheme of things. At the time, it would have been maybe moderate because we both got pretty heated.
Conflicts do tend to feel more severe in the moment of their origins. My next question for you is, were there any false assumptions made by you or your mother during this conflict? Misinformation in general spread around that escalated the conflict.
Well, we both assumed that each other's plans were more important than the other. So the assumptions that we made definitely put added fuel to our fires, so to speak.
Interesting. Did either of you try to drag any bystanders into the conflict, family members or friends? And what were their responses to being dragged into your conflict?
We absolutely did. I called for my dad to come offer some support, and he threw his hands up and he's like, nope, like, not getting involved with this, Ainsley. That's not my business. It's between you and your mom.
Did the lack of support from family and friends affect your perspective of the conflict at all? Did you feel now maybe that your position wasn't as justified as it was before, or your mother's position wasn't as justified?
It kind of made me feel like how inconsequential it really was. So, like, without someone backing me up being like, yeah, you know what, that is a legit issue, I was kind of like, oh, like, I'm really just fighting about the car.
Interesting. So did either of you begin trying to hurt the other, either emotionally or physically during this, maybe with insults or attacks? Arguments do tend to get heated between family members.
There wasn't any, like, huge insults other than the assumption that each other's time was more important than the other's and that we were both being selfish. But it wasn't a big thing of name-calling or insulting words or anything like that.
Good, you managed to de-escalate it a little bit. My final question for you is just, how did the conflict end up being resolved? And was it resolved at all, even?
Well, my mom had failed to mention to me at the time of our initial argument that she was going to pick up my niece. So when I realized that someone else, like my sister-in-law and my niece, were depending on her for the vehicle, it kind of changed my perspective on things, because I just wanted to go someplace to have fun, whereas she needed to be somewhere and be on time for other people. So when I found out that other people were depending on her time, it kind of put into perspective for me that I don't have to be where I need to be, but she does.
Interesting. So you used a bit of a competing method where you addressed some objective criteria of the needs of family members, and that's how you came to the resolution that your mom actually needed the car more than you at the time. Yep. Okay, then. Well, thanks so much for coming in today, Ainsley. It's always difficult to share a personal problem on the air, but we appreciate it here at CCRS. I just want to let our listeners know that this is Dylan reminding you that the art of listening is not about waiting for your turn to speak. And we'll see you on December 2nd for our next show. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.